1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Dear Lord, bless your word today. May your name be honored and glorified. And Lord, please use me. Fill each person here with your love and your spirit. May we go out of here, Lord, as Tim prayed earlier, different from what we've heard. And God, we ask for your presence and your power here today. Comfort hearts, touch people. God, use me, thanking you for all you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And the book of 1 Timothy is what is known as a pastoral epistle. And the Apostle Paul is instructing his son in the faith, Timothy, on how the church and the ministry were to be conducted. And he wanted Timothy to understand that the church of the living God is the house of God. The church of the living God is the house of God. And that a church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Earlier in the chapter, the apostle gives the qualifications for deacons and bishops or elders. And for the record, God has established for the local churches, he has established that deacons and elders and officers in that church meet certain requirements. What I'm trying to tell you is this was not some invisible church that Paul was speaking of here. It was a local assembly. This was not the internet church. This was not the TV church. This was not even my family and I, we're having church at the house. This was not an invisible church. This was a church with a bishop or a pastor. This was a church with real life deacons. This was a church with deacons' wives and pastors' wives. This was a church with elders that ruled and teachers that taught, and widows that needed care. You'll find all that in this epistle. This was a local, visible church. If you think I'm cheerleading for the local church this morning, you're right. It's like one lady said, she wouldn't come to church. She watched those televangelists on TV all her life, and when one of her loved ones passed away, she called the Baptist church and said, "Would you bury my husband?" And he said, "Call old Roberts." Now, I know that sounds callous, but you need a local church. You need a pastor. You need that. The Bible tells us that. This church, and by the way, there's no such thing as a perfect church. No such thing as a perfect church. And I understand that sometimes people have to leave a congregation. I've had to do that. I understand that happens. I'm not belittling you if you've had to leave a church, if you've had to change churches. There's a lot of reasons that sometimes people have to do that. It's difficult to find a good church. Especially, it seems like as we move toward the progression of time, it's harder and harder to find a good church. A lot of the churches that once taught the truth have moved away from the truth. I understand that sometimes people have to leave churches. But I want to read you an article that I wrote some time ago and put it in the Christian Excavator. And it's concerning finding a perfect church. It's kind of humorous in a way, but it's kind of also true. It says, I want to state right at the beginning that looking for a perfect church is a ridiculous endeavor. It's a hopeless endeavor. It is as unrealistic as looking for Shangri-La or the Fountain of Youth. Any church can be picked apart. Any church can be, or any preacher can be run down. Any preacher's wife or family can be picked apart or run down. No congregation is beyond reproach. Once you start down the road looking for a perfect church, if you do not detour somewhere along the way, you will spend a lifetime on that road. And the road leads to nowhere except possibly bitterness or regret. I'm not saying that all churches are the same. I'm not saying that all churches are right. I'm not saying that all churches are good places to attend. I am simply saying, and to quote George Bush, read my lips, there's no such thing as a perfect church. Or as one poet wrote, if you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sake, don't join that church, you'd spoil the atmosphere. You and I, we are unique individuals. And I just want to say, no one believes just like you do. No one is going to dress just like you think people should dress. No one is going to speak just like you speak. No one is going to like just the things that you like. Churches have problems. I've recently been studying the church at Corinth, and I wrote down many of the negative aspects of that local church. This was a church that the Apostle Paul had helped to start. I wrote down a list of the things in that church that were going on. They had divisions. They had contentions. They had carnality. They had immaturity, envy, strife, pride, puffed up, fornication, suing one another, incest, adultery, idolatry, heresies, abusing the Lord's Supper, abusing the gifts of the Spirit, and they ridiculed the Apostle Paul. That was all in one church. And that's not a complete or a comprehensive list of all the problems that particular church was having. But you get the idea. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul did not say, okay, all you good Christians, leave that church and start another one. All you good Christians, find another church. I think instead of looking for greener pastures sometimes, maybe as Christians we should, as the Bible says, in lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbear one another in love and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lowliness and meekness is the opposite of pride. Please don't misunderstand me. I think you should attend a good church. You should find a church that teaches and preaches the Bible. I would not attend a church that didn't preach and teach the Bible. You should look for a church that most reflects what you believe. But I want to warn you, don't waste your time looking for a perfect church. You're not going to find it. You only make yourself and your family miserable in the process. So, we see here that Paul is talking to Timothy about the house of God, the church of the living God. And I want us to look just at two things concerning Apostle Paul's statement concerning the truth. Number one, the church is the house of God. The church is the house of God. If you would hold your place there and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The church is the house of God. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, saying, or he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to notice here that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. My church. And he uses two words here, and one is the word Peter, and the other is the word rock. Now, the word Peter is the Greek word Petros, which means small stone. That's what Peter's name means. And the word rock here in this verse means Petra. Two different words. It means large stone, large rock. It's the same word when Jesus told the parable about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. It's the same word. I only say that to say this. The truth that the church of Jesus Christ is built on is that truth that was revealed to Simon Peter here when he answered this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. That is the rock. That is the truth. Now, the church, when Jesus is speaking of the church here, he's speaking of an institution. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just give you a definition by a man by the name of Dan Cozart. I read this years ago. I thought it was a good definition. In the same way we talk of the school, we mean the school as a system and not any one particular school. Yet the school institutionally is made up of all local schools. There would be no school system if there were no local schools. It is the same with the church. The first mention of the word church is to be found in our text in Matthew 16, 18. Our Lord was not thinking of any particular assembly, whether the church at Jerusalem or anywhere else. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. The Jerusalem church is no longer with us. This could be said to thousands upon thousands of local assemblies. What he meant, however, was that his church as an institution would never pass away or be destroyed, and it has not. The church of our Lord is still here today after 2,000 years. So when the Lord is speaking of his church here, he's not speaking of a local church. 50 years from now, this local church may not still be here. A lot of churches, good churches, who were built 100 years ago are no longer in operation. Matter of fact, the churches are, I think I read somewhere there's 3,000 churches close their doors in this country a year. So the churches are on a decline. But the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. God will always have his church. They may have to meet in a barn. They may have to meet in a home. But God will always have his church. It may be in China. It may be in India. But God will always have his church. It is his church. It is built by Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is assailed by evil. The church of Jesus Christ has a sure foundation. And it cannot be overthrown. The house of God, if you'll go back to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The house of God is the church of the living God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I'm here to tell you today that we serve a living God. We serve a living God. We read in our text that the house of God is the church of the living God. And if I understand the Bible correctly, the house of God or the church is not a physical building. We have a great building here. It's a beautiful building. We've got a great facility. It's air conditioned. It's heated. The pews are padded. We've got a place we can meet downstairs and have fellowship. It's a great place. But you know what? This building is not the church. This building is not the church. If we had to, we could meet in a barn, or we could meet in a field. If we had to, we could meet somewhere different every week. We could meet in our homes or in a storefront. Many of the first churches in the New Testament were people met in homes. They met in homes. One definition of a local church is an assembly of voluntary baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ assembled for the purpose of carrying out the commands of Christ. The church is not a building. The house of God, when I say the house of God, I don't mean this building, though this is dedicated, set apart to be where we meet to worship. I want to tell you today that you cannot attend an invisible church. You cannot attend an invisible church. If you'll look at our text again, he says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So I want to say, first of all, that the house of God is the church of the living God. The house of God is the church of the living God. Ever since I trusted Christ as my Savior, I have been a member of a local church somewhere. I have always served the Lord through a local church. I didn't send my money to Jimmy Swaggart. I didn't send my money to Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker. I didn't send my money to Oral Roberts. I didn't send my money to Charles Stanley. I didn't send my money to any of these fellas. I gave my money to the local church. I attended the local church. I serve God through the local church. I'm just trying to tell you now, God has instituted the church. He's instituted the church. We need one another. We're to love one another, care for one another, pray for one another. And like the dear brother said back there, when one of us hurts, even if it may be states away, we're still in the family of God. And we pray for one another and care for one another. And we need that. We need each other, especially today. We live it can be a very discouraging time to be a Christian when we look at the way our politics and all the world events that's going on around us. If there was ever a time that we shouldn't forsake the house of God, it's now. It's now. So, the house of God is the church of the living God. Secondly, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. One true function of a local church is the declaration of truth in the world. One function. Now, there's more than that one, but one function of a church is to present the truth in the world. We are the light of the world. The church here in this verse says that it is the pillar and ground. Now, the word ground speaks of a foundation. Many of you have probably had a home built in your lifetime, or maybe you were in the construction business or saw buildings being built. The first thing someone does when they build a house or a building is they do what? They lay a foundation. They do the groundwork. A man will come out with a bulldozer, he'll level the ground, then a backhoe will come out, he'll dig the footers, and then a concrete, a cement truck will show up and he'll pour the footer, will he not? Why is that? Because if you're going to build something, it has to be on a good foundation. If you build a home and do not put it on a good foundation, that home, a few years, if you just build it on the ground with no foundation, in a few years your walls will be cracking, your roof will be leaking, your windows will be breaking because you didn't take the time to have a good foundation. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, when I look at a house, let's say for a minute that maybe I was going to buy a house, and I go look at the house, and boy, it's pretty. It's got nice big bay windows, and it's got beautiful siding, and the kind of roof I like, and it's got a pool out back and a patio, and it's just everything I'd like to have, and I can't see the foundation. If I buy that house without knowing what the foundation looks like, I'm not very wise. If I buy that house without making sure that it has a foundation, that's pretty foolish. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is to be the base. It's the basis of where truth resides. Peter answered the Lord, we read it a minute ago, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is upon this truth that the church has to be built. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The church is to be the ground of the truth. And the church is to be the pillar of the truth. Now in West Virginia, a pillar is something you lay your head on. But that's not the kind of pillar he's talking about. He's talking about a column. If you've ever looked at the ruins of ancient Greece, a lot of times the only thing that'll be standing are those columns, those huge marble or granite pillars that at one time held the porch on or the roof on of a massive building. The church is to be that column. The church is to be that pillar. That was the strength of that building. That's why the building is gone, but the pillar still stands there. That was the truth and the ground and the pillar. The church is to be that. When the church ceases to be the ground and the pillar of the truth, it ceases to be the church. They may meet every week. They may carry their Bibles in the front door. They may sing songs, but if they do not preach and teach the truth in the Word of God, they have ceased to be a church. The church, the ground, speaks of a solid foundation, and the pillar speaks of a column. That column holds something up. That column displays the truth. Great buildings had these massive columns, and the truth is to be shown forth and promoted in the world. That's why the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. This is where the strength is. The truth is where the strength is. You know, the problem with society today is they don't want to hear the truth. But that doesn't change our job. If everyone living rejects the truth, the church still has a responsibility to preach the truth. If the whole society says, you're wrong about that, and the Bible says the truth, we have to preach the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's not, by the way, and I'm for having fun. We had a great time yesterday. as we drove up with those group of men in that van, stopped at the Tamarack and ate dinner. We just had a really good time, had stopped at Hardee's and ate breakfast. We're Baptists, we eat. But the Bible doesn't say that the church is the pillar and ground of fun. I was pastoring one time and a man came up to me and he said, "I think the church ought to be a place where you can have fun." I said, "Can you show me that in the Bible?" I'm for having fun. I wish we had a church van. We'd go somewhere all the time. We'd have all kinds of fun. I like having fun. But the Bible doesn't say that the church is the pillar and ground of fun, does it? It's the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible doesn't say that the church is the pillar and ground of entertainment. A lot of churches today have been turned into entertainment centers. You go there to be entertained. And I don't mind entertainment. And I don't mind good singing or whatever you want to call it. But listen, that's not what the Bible tells us here. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The truth. All those things have their place. Please don't get me wrong. All those things have their place. But this has first place. The Word of God and the truth from the Word of God has first place. So, when churches fail to teach and preach the truth, God removes himself. God removes himself. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 1. Jesus, speaking to the seven churches, he says in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." In history, you don't have to be a scholar. In history, you can find church after church after church after church that at one time had preached the truth, and at one time had stood on the gospel, and at one time had a burden for men's souls. And now, it's just a shadow of what it was. It's just a shell. It's turned into an entertainment center. It's turned into a place of a social club. It's turned into a place that preaches a social gospel. It's turned into a place that has placed the Bible in the back. And when you go there, you may hear the Bible preached a little bit, and you may not. And God, I believe, has removed himself from that place. As the old preachers used to say, he's written Ichabod over the door. The glory hath departed. So how do we apply this to ourselves this morning? What does that mean? What does this mean to Calvary Baptist Church? What does that mean? I believe it means that we are to endeavor to make sure that our church is always preaching and teaching the truth. We need to endeavor to make our church the pillar and ground of the truth. The Word of God has to be the foundation, folks. The Word of God has to be the foundation. This is the only place there's any hope, is the Word of God. This is the only light in a dark world. This is the only rescue ship in this ocean called life. We have to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And when others compromise with sin, and when others compromise on the Bible, and others compromise with the world, we have to hold this Bible with a firm hand and determine that Calvary Baptist Church is going to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. I hope, you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, the Bible describes a man, it says he fought with the sword so long that his hand clave to the sword. In other words, when he got done, when the battle was over, they had to pry his fingers off of that sword. He had been holding it so tight, fighting with it. Can I tell you something my wish would be? I'd like to hold on to this book so tight. I'd like to stand by this book so hard. I'd like to be so saturated with this Bible that my hand was clave to it. That's my prayer. I want to be a man of the book. Listen, public opinion changes. Society changes. Fashions change. Churches change. Preachers change. But this doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. It's the Word of God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. We need to remember that. We need to make that our goal. We need to be resolved about that.